Welcome to the Sourcing Hero podcast, produced by UNA, a group purchasing organization that empowers sourcing heroes, and Art of Procurement, the world's largest procurement podcast network. I'm your host, Kelly Barner. The goal of the Sourcing Hero podcast is to capture the epic stories of people who are rising up and beating the odds to create exceptional value within procurement, directly from those heroes themselves. Today, my guest here on the Sourcing Hero podcast is Natasha Sekach. Natasha is the CEO of Kronata, a Croatia-based company that provides procurement transformation support and coaching. So, Natasha, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you, Kelly, for the invitation, and it is my real pleasure to be your host today.
Now, I talked a little bit about what you do, what your company does in my intro, but what else do you think it's helpful for people to know about your professional background?
Well, I started to work 30 years ago, and I started to work in procurement. So I didn't wanted to do that. I wanted to start in sales or in marketing, but procurement had a great impact on my future development. So I founded my company 10 years ago, and my main focus is, as you said in an introduction, the process of procurement and supply chain transformation, and the improvement of employees' competencies. So I work with the small, medium, and large companies who want to improve their procurement process, who want to achieve more, and who want to add additional value to their procurement process. I'm also the author of the Procurement Academy Education Program in 3 modules, which I started 7 years ago. I also write articles for professional magazines, participate on conferences and professional gatherings as a lecturer. I'm a member of the Croatian Association for Procurement, and 3 months ago, I published my first book about procurement, operational.
Well, congratulations. That is a huge undertaking.
Yes, thank you very much. For now, it's only on creation, but who knows what will happen in the future.
Well, then it seems like I have the right person with me to talk about procurement transformation. And one of the things that is interesting, and it's not the same in every case, sometimes a transformation project starts within procurement, but other times the recognition that transformation of procurement is needed starts outside in the leadership team. Based on your experience with companies, what are some of the things that might cause a management team to start thinking about investing in procurement transformation?
Well, thank you for this question, Kelly. It's very interesting. Well, the reasons are very different. Most often, internal stakeholders complain to management that the procurement is not efficient, that there are delays in production. Sometimes the main reason is awareness of high costs, or simply awareness that management level that due to the growth of the company, there is a need for transformation of all processes, also including procurement.
Now, when these management teams start to think about it, of course, I'm going to take a procurement perspective on this, and I would say, well, management team, have you thought about your role in this? Not just in, I don't know, approving the transformation or approving the budget, but in actually making it successful. Do you think management teams at the outset of this conversation understand the importance of their role, not just in saying, okay, procurement, go transform, but in creating the situation where they can be successful?
Yes. At the very start, management is not fully aware that it's not all about procurement. The transformation, for the transformation of procurement, it is also necessary to coordinate with all internal stakeholders. Procurement is a supportive function. You know, we all know that we are a hand for all our internal stakeholders. And sometimes transformation will be much more successful if we all understand what is the main task of the procurement, and we all have to change according to this transformation process. We cannot change the procurement process and the rest will remain intact. This is not, possible. But so they are not aware at the beginning, but how the this transformation process is going on, they start to realize how important it is for all internal stakeholders to adopt and also to transform. You ask for the management's, their role in this transformation process. It is very important, not only declarative, but they have to be involved in, because we have to change a lot of things sometimes. We have to talk about roles, obligation, where procurement process starts, where it ends. And this is also beyond procurement, space. It involves in all aspects of the company.
Well, and it's interesting too, because a lot of times, and on this I speak from experience, the company will think there's a problem in procurement, but it's actually somewhere else, and everyone thinks it's procurement. The biggest example of that that comes to mind is, why does it take so long to get my contract through procurement, when in fact it's stuck somewhere in legal, in some kind of review? And no, it hasn't made it beyond procurement yet. It hasn't gone back to the supplier for signature or to the business for review, but it's not procurement that's holding things up. That's something that looks like a procurement issue, but it's actually happening in legal. Is this one of the areas where they need to get involved, because they think it's procurement that needs to be transformed, but it's actually functional areas outside of procurement that do?
Yes. I always like to emphasize that the most important thing, regardless of the size of the company, is to define where the procurement process starts and where it ends. It is mandatory to define the responsibilities and obligations within procurement, but also for all our internal users. Who will order, under what conditions, where are the certain financial authorization, who is responsible for the legal part, and so on and so on. So it is very important to know who is responsible for what in all this project according to the transformation of the business.
Because if the transformation project is successful, there are going to be changes on the other side. Yeah. And so let's say this originates with management. They say, okay, something needs to change. You look at process, you look at talent, you look maybe at digital platforms, and then always something in procurement, some things outside of procurement are going to need to change on the other side. And management will need to play a supporting role on the other side as well, so that they can help roll out and support change. Isn't that the case?
Yes, it is. So we cannot give the procurement task, you have to change. And we all will stay the same, and we will not move in any way. As you said, the role of management is here very important. They have to be aware that this transformation process includes all the participants in the company. Even management sometimes have to change some in their way of, for example, management wants sometimes to purchase something for themselves beyond procurement. So if they want to change this, this also affects their way of behavior.
Yeah. Now, I know from our past conversation that one of the things you really believe in terms of making a transformation program successful is actually sitting down at the very beginning to document expectations for the project. Why do you believe that's such an important step?
Well, first of all, it is I always want to put expectations and the goal you want to achieve with each transformation process at the beginning. Of course, unplanned situations always arise, but from my practice, I can already forecast a lot of it, and it is very important for me that this is clearly communicated in advance with the management, because the main reason is because, as I said at the beginning of our conversation, I think the management is not really aware what is the cause of the delay, of the high cost and everything. This is not all about procurement. So that this is very important for me when we start a transformation process to be aware what we want to achieve. And on this transformation way, what changes will be done, not only in procurement, but also in other aspects of the company.
I have to think that in going through this exercise, sometimes procurement and maybe even sometimes management could learn something about themselves. You know, it's interesting, you talked about management wanting to do things differently. I can remember back in my sourcing days, we were doing rental cars and we knew the contract was going to be changing from one major rental agency to another, but the executive team all had their loyalty points with the old supplier. And so they created a carve out for themselves to say, okay, everyone else in the company has to change and go to this other company, but we're management. We want to stay where we have our loyalty points. And it sometimes you can work around it, and other times it can be a real problem if they're trying to say, hey, company, you all go do this thing and experience this change. Not us. We're going to keep ourselves separate. Does management sometimes have an opportunity to reflect and learn something about either themselves or how their way of working is different from what's happening in the rest of the company as they go through this initial conversation about procurement transformation?
Yes. Well, the management has to be a lead role. They have to be an example. We all know that it's very difficult to change in each way. Much of the resistance is due to ignorance. And when we add to that the lack of adequate communication, any improvement is difficult. But we have to always start from ourselves. Mm. Also, this is the main point I usually tell management when we start transformation process. You cannot be out of this process. You also have to be a part of it. You have to lead by example.
Yeah.
And then people will understand and it will be easier for them to accept the change. As you said, changes are not easy and they're not pleasant, of course.
No one likes change. I put myself at the front of that line. I don't like it when things change. Like, no, please don't change anything. I was just fine the way things were.
Exactly.
And yet sometimes, because as hard as it is, change is also inevitable. Sometimes if we focus less on the change itself and focus more on why that change is necessary, if possible, right down to the level of the person or the team that we're talking to, that can help it. What advice do you have around emphasizing that why, making sure that's so clear right from the beginning?
I will tell you a story. Last year, I had one pharmaceutical company. We were providing a transformation process, and it was initiative from the owner of the company. And they were aware that they grow a lot, and they need to transform their procurement function also according to this great growth of the company. And when we started this, he said for one supplier, oh, we are very satisfied with him. He is so loyal to us. His quality is very good. You know, we have a high standards for our production and everything is okay with him, with this supplier. And I said, okay, great. But Let's try with some procurement strategic point of view. And we started a spend analysis in this company, and we divide categories in ABC categories, and we started to plan procurement for the next period. And he called me a month ago, and he said, you know, do you remember the supplier? I said, we are very satisfied with him. And after your analysis of the spend, and when you said to us, we have to plan a procurement for the next year, we started negotiation with him. And we also included two other suppliers. And you know what? He was a much more expensive than other companies, and we changed him after all this year. But we didn't felt good in this relationship because we had some kind of situation that he was not transparent and honest with us for this last year we worked with him. I don't know if you understand what I wanted to say, but when a consultant or come to your company and to help you to transform your process, he is not there to teach you or to do your job better than you, but to show you the gaps in your process, or maybe to look at this this procurement, for example, process from a different point of view. I also, when I was working in other companies, I didn't have time to improve my process because I was in my everyday business, and I didn't have time to stop and to see, okay, look, Natasha, what can we do better in this process? Because I was doing POs and calling my suppliers and checking for stock and asking my cargo where the transport is, and so on and so on. So he was very thankful, and this is one of my best cooperations, I might say, because they did a great job. And his first sentence when we start, he said, you know, this supplier, I will not change.
That's so funny. You know, yeah. I think you spend enough time in procurement, you develop sort of that instinct. Even as you were relating the story, I can see in my mind the stakeholder, oh no, my supplier is wonderful and they're the best and they've been with us for a long time and we need them. I could feel the hairs on the back of my neck going up. Yeah. You just know, okay, it's time to start digging. This supplier needs to go. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It doesn't always work out that way, but the decision needs to be made on comparing them to alternatives in the market and looking at the impact they're actually delivering, not just someone feeling like,
exactly,
you know, procurement's not a feeling like business. No. I feel like this is a good supplier. No. Needs to be on paper.
Yeah. I always tell my clients, numbers.
Yes.
We have to deal with data. We have to look for the reports, for the figures, to calculations, and then decide. Okay, feeling is good. Feeling is important for our relationship because our supplier is also a person. But business decisions have to be run by figures, by numbers, by data.
Well, and it sounds like, you know, if we sort of stay with your story for a minute, there was also multiple ways you could have handled that. So the stakeholder says, no, like you said, right out of the gate, I will not be changing the supplier. Now, in that moment, you could have put your hands on your hips and said, oh, yes, you will. Or you could have said, well, that's not for you to say, right? Or you could do what you did and say, okay, and then go get some data, right? To your point, data. That could have been an opportunity to make an enemy or to get into a fight. So you were dealing with someone who is resistant to change, but you were able to manage it in such a way that there wasn't a fight. And yes, you did change suppliers, but I'm assuming that person was involved in the decision. Given how often being in procurement transformation, you must meet and work with people that say, nope, I'm not going to change. Nothing needs to be different. What advice do you have for the rest of us having conversations where the other person is digging their heels in and being resistant to trying something new?
Very funny. When we start transformation process, they always say, yes, we will. We are ready to change. And when I propose a change, oh, no, this is not for us.
Not that one.
Not that one. Yeah. Or not me. but you have to be very, very careful in these processes. And I usually give them time and finally they decide to do. But I try to give them tools and metrics and some different perspective, and they finally at the end they decide that this is good for them.
And at the end, that's really what matters, right? It's not about being right. It's not about moving faster. It's about getting where you need to go, and hopefully as many of the people around you as possible go along for the journey. Now, Natasha, as we start to wrap up our time, I want to bring you into a tradition we have here at the Sourcing Hero. I'm going to give you two questions. You can pick either one, and there are no wrong answers. So here are your choices. Either, what does the idea of a sourcing hero mean to you? Or what do you think heroism looks like in a business context?
Well, I will, because my main business is to transform, my heroism looks like when you are ready to change, when you are ready to learn, to initiate changes, make a proposal, develop yourself, develop your competences, join the community of buyers, purchasing association, I don't know, try to make an impact in this kind of business, because procurement is very shy. We are not like sales, but we have to because we are doing a great job. I know a lot of great purchasing people, and we have to do an impact in procurement community.
Yeah. And to your point about our story with our friend who was not going to make any changes, it's not about saying that you're willing or ready to change. It's about actually going through with it and making those changes. I think that's a great way to look at heroism. Yes. Now, if people have listened in today and are interested in connecting with you or learning more about your work or your book, what is the best way for them to get in touch?
Well, you can contact me on my LinkedIn profile. I usually make some posts, but now it's on Croatian. But you can contact me in my Messenger or send me a message on LinkedIn profile. And you can also visit my website. I have a new one. and you can find more about me, or if you are interested maybe in some kind of cooperation or whatever, I'm ready, really open to cooperation.
Excellent, Natasha. Well, thank you so much for being with me today and for doing this conversation for the Sourcing Hero podcast.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Sourcing Hero podcast. Join us again next time for more true stories of sourcing and business heroism performed by your colleagues and peers. Look for The Sourcing Hero wherever you get your podcasts, and don't forget to subscribe. Finally, don't forget, sourcing heroism is taking place all around us, every day. Keep your eyes open and you're bound to see it. Until next time, I'm your host, Kelly Barner. Stay well, and always remember that you can be a hero too.